Chapter 18. An idle mind is the devil's playground. That's what my mother told me. Bored while I was waiting between meetings, I had my Z phone out and was scrolling through messages. The email address I actually used was secret, known only to the pirates, UNEF command, family, and friends. But still, I got a flood of messages every day. You would think that being on the Skippytel network, any useless crap would get filtered out, but that was not true. Somehow, I got an impressive amount of spam. "Hey," I grunted, surprised. My surprise was not at getting another spam message, not even about the content of the message. It was about some so-called genius I know getting scammed. "Skippy, did you see this message?" I laughed. "Which one?" "The one where someone is stealing your good name, trying to rip people off."
"What?"
Now I had his attention.
"Where is this?"
"This message here." I held the phone up, though that gesture was entirely useless. "Some jerk claims he is a long-lost prince of Skippistan and he needs my help to claim his inheritance of $12 million. All he needs is my bank account information."
"Well, don't do that, Joe."
"I'm not an idiot, Skippy. No way am I falling for an old scam like..."
"I meant ignore the message because you are not eligible for the contest."
"A contest?"
"Yes. Current citizens of Skippistan are not eligible for the sweepstakes. If you scrolled down and read the fine print, you would know that."
"Don't be so lazy, Joe," he huffed.
"Hold on. You sent this message out?"
"Of course I did, knucklehead. Skippistan doesn't have a royal family, so there is no prince out there. I mean," he chuckled, "unless this prince is a sheep or a goat, you know."
"I must be missing something here. You are scamming people?"
"Of course not." He sounded hurt. "There actually is $12 million available in the contest. In fact, there is 10 times that much available. $120 million.
That was the smartest thing I could think of to say right then.
"So, there really is a contest?"
"Yes. The first 10 people to respond properly will each receive $12 million from the beneficent and generous citizens of Skippistan."
"Oh. Wow. I am sorry. I falsely accused you. Please forgive me."
"Hm," he sniffed. "Apology accepted."
I shrugged. "This is an unusual way to run a charity, but I guess all that matters is that needy people are being helped, so..."
"It's called chumming the water, Joe,"
he explained excitedly, because he simply does not know when to shut up.
What? "Chumming the water. Come on, you know what I mean. Like when you're fishing, you throw bait out behind the boat. The bait attracts fish, so you can catch them easier."
"I know what chum is, asshole. What does that have to do with..."
"Oh, shit. This is going to have a fantastic return on investment, Joe."
He was bubbling over with enthusiasm for his scheme.
"Once word gets out that 10 lucky idiots out there got rich through my scam, every gullible loser in the world will be falling over themselves to give me their money." "Oh, man," he giggled. "I am going to be raking in the dough."
"Shit, Skippy, you can't do that."
"Ah, don't worry, Joe. Just because other scammers never thought of this brilliant twist on an old scam, that doesn't mean it won't work. I am simply smarter than other scammers," he giggled. "The contest already has 3 winners, or should I say, losers."
"Skippy, you can't do this."
"Why not? It is all perfectly legal under the laws of Skippistan."
"The laws of..." It never occurred to me that this fake country had actual laws. Shit. What else did I not know about the glorious People's Republic of Skippistan?
"The law is not the only consideration, you ass."
"Huh?
Oh, I get it, Joe. Thank you for being concerned, but there is really very little risk of me losing the original $125 million. Besides," he snickered, "it's not my money anyway.
A criminal syndicate in Belarus fronted that cash as an investment.
They don't know they invested in my venture." He lowered his voice. "The money will probably be returned before they even notice it is missing."
Burying my face in my hands, I mumbled, "This is a dangerous game, Skippy."
"Nah. Sadly, that bank in Belarus failed to keep their antivirus firewalls updated. So, there could be a tragic system crash that wipes out all recent transaction history, if you know what I mean. Hopefully, I won't need to do that." You are totally missing the point. Ripping off people is wrong, Skippy.
It is?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, really.
Even if they volunteer to get ripped off? Because they are being greedy?
Well, that's complicated.
Aha!
He shouted in triumph. See, Joe, that's the beauty of this particular scam. The people who participate are not only gullible and stupid, they think they are scamming me. Really, I am doing law enforcement agencies all over the world a favor by identifying potential wrongdoers. Hey, I should get a medal or something.
You are going to get yourself in trouble, shithead. Other countries have laws against scams like this.
Well, then I suggest you immediately secure legal representation, Joe, and not a sleazebag lawyer like Maury Slater.
Why would I need a lawyer?
Well, as president of Skippistan, you of course must answer for any shenanigans that go on there.
President? What? How? When did this happen?
A couple days ago.
I never asked to be president.
What can I say? Many are called to greatness, Joe. Some have it thrust upon them.
When did I become president?
After the recent election, of course. Don't let it go to your head. But you won in a landslide.
I wasn't informed of any election.
Well, we didn't want to bother you, Joe. We know you have been very busy.
Who voted in this election?
Well, me, of course. Salkat and Amina were going to vote, but Salkat and... Who are they again?
Salkat Nazarbayev and his lovely wife Amina, remember? They run my goat farm.
Amina was in a nearby village selling goat's milk on election day, and Salkat was drunk again. I can assure you the election was strictly legit, Joe.
Only you voted.
What about the other citizens of the Glorious People's Republic?
Citizenship doesn't come with voting rights, knucklehead, he sighed.
Did you not even bother to read the brochure?
I resign, effective immediately.
No dice, Joe. Unfortunately, I just read the Constitution of Skippistan. It does not allow a duly elected president to avoid the responsibilities of the office.
Since when do we have a constitution?
Since about, 5 seconds ago.
I guess this day needs to be a national holiday in Skippistan. We'll need snacks.
Shit. This cannot be happening.
Joseph, please, watch your language. I expect a president to present himself with more dignity and decorum.
Are you serious about this? Why do you want me to be president?
So you can handle all the boring diplomatic and administrative stuff, leaving me free to focus on developing and implementing my vision of a glorious future.
Oh, please. I am dying to hear the details of this glorious future.
I am still developing it, numbskull. Do you even listen when I talk?
What administrative stuff could there be? The whole country is a freaking goat farm.
And sheep, Joe, and don't forget the yak.
Also, while I'm thinking about it, one of your first duties should be to plan a celebration for our first Constitution Day. The menu should reflect the wide variety of local cuisines in our glorious nation.
How about I get a bag of cheese doodles from the vending machine?
That'll work.
You didn't answer my question. What administrative duties do I have?
Someone has to keep track of the goats, Joe. Salkat was doing that, but then he got drunk, knocked over a lantern, and burned down the hut with all the farm's records.
Oh, that reminds me. Can you read Kyrgyz?
What?
No?
Wow. Better get started then, huh? Kyrgyz is the official language of Skippistan.
I thought the national anthem is sung in Klingon.
It is, but Salkat and Amina only speak Kyrgyz, and a little Tajik, of course. They need that to get by in business stuff.
You should learn Tajik, too. It is, how about you translate for me until I am fluent?
If I must.
Although I suspect that will be an excuse for you not to study.
You think?
Who will handle the president's duties when I'm away from the planet?
Already I was thinking of Earth as just another planet. That scared me.
Can Maury handle it?
Well, sadly, Maury is currently busy with his own legal troubles that even I can't get him out of. I told him that if he had picked either cocaine or hookers, maybe I could work something out with the authorities. But no, he had to get greedy.
Shit. Who is your ambassador now?
Trixie Diamond.
That's her real name?
No, it's her... I think the polite term is working name.
Your ambassador is a call girl?
Escort, Joe. Allegedly.
I mean, she has never been arrested for...
You went from a lawyer to a hooker?
I wanted my ambassador to be someone with more integrity than a lawyer, Joe.
I actually cannot argue about that.
Besides, Trixie agreed not to tell the authorities what she knows about Maury and the... ferrets, if you know what I mean. I stuck fingers in my ears. Please never mention this again.
Mention what?
It never happened.
Thank you.
Can we go back to your scam?
Ugh, do we have to?
We do. Stop it, right now.
Do I have to? He whined.
Yes. I don't understand. You can get bank account info for anyone on the planet. Why do you need a scam?
Joe, please. You insult my honor.
What? My honor. I do not steal from people. Sure, occasionally I redistribute wealth from criminal organizations. That is just my generous nature. Skippistan had expenses, and the commemorative swag I have on the internet is just not bringing in enough revenue. If people volunteer to send their money to me, because they think they are ripping someone off in a scam, then they are simply getting what they deserve.
Crap.
Well, he was wrong about that, but I couldn't put an argument together in my head.
Why don't you just make money the old-fashioned way?
Like how?
Bribes, Skippy.
Lobbyists all over the world would love to have influence with you. They can funnel boatloads of cash into your pockets.
I don't have pockets. You know what I mean.
Lobbyists. That sounds really sleazy, Joe. Your ambassador is a call girl and you raise money through email scams.
Maybe you have a point.
Ugh. Working with lobbyists? What if they bribe me to do something I don't want to do?
That's easy. You don't have to do anything other than take the bribes.
Explain how that works, please.
It's simple. Some corporation wants you to, I don't know. I tried to think of a scenario. Help them with mining an asteroid, or help them secure a contract with Homeworld Security. They hire a lobbyist to contact you and shovel a boatload of cash into your pockets. The lobbyist keeps a cut of the money. You don't do anything, but the lobbyist tells his client that he's working with you and is very close to an agreement. Maybe he suggests more bribes are needed. Eventually, the corporation fires the lobbyist, but they just hire another sleazebag and he gives you another bribe. Everybody wins.
Everybody except the lobbyist who got fired?
No, he just moves on to another client, because everyone knows he has extensive contacts in Skippistan.
Wow. That sounds super sleazy.
I know, but...
Count me in, brother!
Great. Will you please cancel the email scam?
How about I halt it where it is and we pretend none of this ever happened?
Can you return the money?
Maybe some of it. I'll do what I can. A certain bank in Belarus is going to have a very bad day, though. My heart bleeds for them. Now, can I resign from the presidency?
Unfortunately, no.
But you could outsource some of your duties to a vice president.
Like Amina or Salkat?
I asked, hopefully.
I was thinking you should choose one of the goats, but
let's discuss this later, okay?
This is Constitution Day. I need to celebrate with cheese doodles. They are the official snack of Skippistan.
They are not, unless I get an endorsement contract, he grumbled.
Hey, sounds like that snack company needs to hire a lobbyist, huh?
Cool.
You're getting the idea, Skippy.
Talk to you later, okay?
The Panther I had been using as my personal sports car needed routine maintenance, and I was scheduled to give a tour of our battlecruiser to a group of VIPs, so I was back aboard Valkyrie when Skippy called me. The Panther checked out fine, and the VIPs had boarded dropships for the flight back to the surface, so I was just kinda hanging out. Truthfully, being on Earth was tiring. People say they want fame and fortune? Screw that. Give me the fortune. You can keep the fame. Paparazzi followed me everywhere, all of them looking for an unflattering photo of me doing something stupid. I don't know how Hollywood celebrities manage to live actual lives when they are constantly being watched. For me, it was exhausting, and I was sick of it, and being aboard Valkyrie again was a nice break. Margaret was busy at 29 Palms Marine Corps Base. We had plans to meet that weekend. Until then, my life was all work, work, work. I know. It was a pity party for poor little Joey Boo freaking who. Anyway, Skippy called me.
Hey, Joe. The UN Secretary General insists on meeting with you.
Okay, I said slowly, running over in my mind what I had done recently to get me in trouble. A summons from the Secretary General was sort of like being called to the principal's office in school. It immediately made my heart rate spike. The fact was the UN had no direct authority over me, but the Secretary General could make my life difficult, and her organization could pressure the U.S. government to make me do whatever the UN wanted. Normally, the U.S. government would tell the UN bureaucrats to go screw themselves, but right then, the member nations of UNEF were in a cooperative mood, meaning they all wanted to get a piece of the fabulous technology brought back by Valkyrie, and they were all eager to assure that no other country got an unfair advantage. The UN was, the UNEF nations had decided, a convenient watchdog.
What does she want to talk about?
A whole lot of stuff, mostly involving how Skibistan plans to vote on upcoming issues within UNEF.
Doesn't your ambassador Trixie handle that? Unless she is, you know, busy?
Busy?
With her other, you know, job.
Trixie quit her job when I hired her, numbskull. Most of her regular clients are in Miami, and the ambassador position needs to be in New York part of the time, now that we have so much going on.
Okay, so why doesn't she handle voting? That sort of thing.
Trixie doesn't vote, Joe. Skibistan generally abstains from voting, unless the issue affects our glorious nation, like some of the votes scheduled for next week.
Okay, but that doesn't explain why...
The Secretary General is hoping to persuade you to vote the way she wants.
Me? Why would I...
Ugh. You are the president of Skibistan, dum-dum.
Shit. Yeah, but isn't that just a ceremonial position?
Unfortunately, no. I can't vote in the UN because I am not human.
Bunch of jerks.
That is discrimination, Joe.
Yeah. I am outraged by it.
Why do you care what a bunch of monkeys vote about?
I do not. It's the principle of the thing that bugs me.
Maybe I can ask the secretary about it.
Shouldn't I know what the issues are?
No need for you to bother with that stuff, Joe.
Oh, I insist, you sneaky little shit. No way am I voting unless I know what I'm voting on.
But I have already accepted fat bribes to vote a certain way.
You what?
Hey, the whole bribe thing was your idea.
Yes, but...
Shit!
Once again, I had screwed myself by not thinking through the consequences of my actions.
Hey, wait a minute. If I'm the president, shouldn't I be getting memos about stuff we are voting on?
You are getting memos, knucklehead. You are just too lazy to read them.
What?
Pulling out my Z phone, I scrolled through my email.
Where is...
Oops! It looks like all my memos have been getting caught up in your spam filter. My bad.
Spam?
Skippy, you restore those messages to my inbox right now.
Okay, okay. I'm looking for them now.
Wow, you get a flood of spam, Joe.
Offers to refinance your mortgage. I can probably trash those. Let's see, what else?
Enlarge your penis.
Another penis enhancement.
Another? It's...
Damn, you get a lot of messages on that subject. Have you been clicking on...
It's none of your business what I click on, I hasten to say.
Just transfer to my inbox your memos from, like, the past week.
Working on it, he snapped, irritated.
You know, I try to keep boring administrative stuff away from you as much as possible, but this time the Secretary General did not believe your avatar was actually you.
Ugh, I probably made the thing too smart.
Hold on, rewind that, please.
My avatar?
Crap.
The one that sounds like me but looks like a monkey?
You ass. If you...
No, dum-dum, I do not mean avatar like in a stupid video game. I mean your digital self. A 3D replica of you to talk on video conferences when you are much too busy doing, whatever the hell it is you do.
You have been pretending to be me?
I gasped, horrified.
How often have you done this?
Well, that depends. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad, you jackass.
In that case, I have never actually done it that you are aware of.
Gosh, will you look at the time? Gotta go now.
You are not going anywhere. I gritted my teeth. I want a list of every call and video chat you did where you pretended to be me.
Just the official ones?
Why would...
You pretended to be me for my own personal stuff?
No. Well, yes, sort of.
Your mother did not believe it was you for a second. I couldn't fool her.
Who else did you talk to?
Oh, you know, the usual. TV interviews and...
Oh, my. I was on TV? When was this?
You have done many TV interviews for real, Joe, he chided me.
Yeah, and I hated them. Add my fake personal appearances to the list, too. Why? Please tell me why you did this.
There is, and it makes me gag to even say it, not enough Joe Bishop to meet the demand. You get a ton of interview requests every day, and you refuse most of them.
That is not good for your public image, so, I helped.
Excuse me for trying to be helpful to a buddy.
You really were trying to help?
Yes. For example, you received a request to appear on the Morning Farm Report show in the fourth biggest media market in Iowa. The show conflicted with your vacation in the tropics, so I appeared for you. Thank you very much. That also helped sell the cover story that you were working, instead of goofing off on vacation.
Okay. I guess, which reminds me, during that show you agreed to go on a dream date with this year's reigning pork products queen. Do you have a nice set of overalls, or should I make a set for you?
I am not going on a date.
You went on a date with Margaret. Why is this any diff?
It is different and you know it. Cancel the date.
Wow.
That is not going to make you popular with Midwestern women ages 18 to 34, Joe. I have to warn you. Most people who watch that interview already think you are kind of a dick, so you...
It wasn't me!
Well, it's too late for that now. Time for damage control.
This can't be happening.
Wait, stop. I held up a hand. Let's go back to the original subject, okay? Give me a hint what the Secretary General wants to talk about.
The future. Specifically, the future direction of UNEF, the beta site, and whether you monkeys should pursue an alliance with the Ruhar.
Crap. Okay, I need to call Chotek first.
Count Chocula? Why? Are the two of you buddies now?
We are not buddies, Skippy. His family has a yacht bigger than my parents' house. My parents have a canoe. He likes opera. I only listen when you force me to.
Then why?
Because Hans will know what's going on with the policy debate inside UNEF.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
If you want to know what people have been talking about at the UN, I have access to every...
You know what they're saying. Hans knows why.
Shit, I'm gonna call him right now. I was in luck. Hans had an opening on his calendar early that evening, before he had to attend a formal dinner that even he was not looking forward to. Even better, he was at home in Salzburg, Austria, rather than at his office in crowded Geneva, Switzerland. Technically, I should have filed a flight plan to bring my Panther into the local airport, but that would have been a huge pain in the ass. Skippy was right about one thing. There was not enough Joe Bishop to meet the demand. Everywhere I went, people wanted to talk with me, take selfies with me, just see me. And that was the good part. But for every 10 reasonable people, there were two angry wackadoodles who wanted to shout their lunatic conspiracy theories at me or throw something at my head. Did you know that according to polls, 17% of the public still thought the Kristang were our real saviors and I was a traitor working with the Ruhar against humanity? Skippy is right. Monkeys are freaking stupid. Anyway, I set the stealth Panther down in a mountain meadow and hiked down to the nearest road where Skippy had a car waiting for me. It was a nice walk, though I should have brought a change of shoes because the ground was wet and I didn't want to track mud into Chotek's house. Dropping the car in a parking garage, I walked several blocks to his house, keeping my baseball cap pulled down low and my sunglasses on. Wearing a baseball cap did make it obvious that I'm an American, but I looked like any other tourist walking around the city. Hans Chotek owned a very nice townhouse in a fashionable district near the city center, or maybe the house belonged to his family for use when they were in town. I knew also they had an estate outside of the city and a yacht they kept in the south of France. I wasn't joking about that. Just before I rang the doorbell, it surprised me that Hans opened the door. I had expected a butler to be there.
Skippy told me you were here, Hans explained, looking past me to the street.
He was checking whether I had been followed. I imagined he had his own issues with lack of privacy.
Come in, come in, he urged me with a wave and quickly shut the door behind me. Joseph, he patted me on the shoulder. It is good to see you.
Same here, I said, and I meant it. It was less than a month since Valkyrie brought everyone from Avalon to Earth,
and we had spent plenty of time together during that flight. Mostly, we talked about what we knew of the political situation at home and the media firestorm that likely awaited us. He had been 100% right about that. Also, he helped coach me for both the debriefing by the Army and the endless rounds of testifying for committees, both of the U.S. Congress and of the UN. To my surprise, my testimony before Congress was easy compared to answering questions at the UN. Most of my sessions with the Congress were in closed-door classified meetings with no cameras or reporters present. That eliminated the time-wasting bullshit of politicians making speeches to appeal to their voters. There were speeches during my public testimony, but the Pentagon got a list of questions beforehand, and they prepared answers for me. The UN sessions last 2 whole freaking days with ambassadors from countries I never heard of asking a bunch of nonsensical questions I could not answer. After 2 days of solid boredom, made tolerable only because I listened to audiobooks through my earpiece while the ambassador from Blablador droned on with a long speech, I mercifully went into a closed-door session with the nations of UNEF where the questions were focused and to the point. Anyway, that's all I will say about me getting dragged into hearing rooms to get yelled at and scolded and answer questions as best I could. The whole experience sucked for me, and I don't want to bore you with the boring details. Hans led me into his study where he opened a liquor cabinet. No, I started to protest.
Don't worry, he winked at me. It's not schnapps. Bourbon?
He held up a glass. I will if you are.
I am, he assured me. Dinner tonight is with an EU trade federation. It will be insufferably dull. I need a drink to fortify myself.
I thought you enjoyed negotiations, diplomacy, that sort of thing, I observed as I took a sip. Why would someone who signed up for a dull job complain that the work is dull?
I enjoy the results.
He knocked back an impressive swig of bourbon.
Crisis averted. Agreement signed.
In between? He shrugged. Mostly I try to stifle an instinct to strangle the people on the other side of the table.
You have done well.
He raised his glass to me. I watched your testimony to the UN Special Committee. Skippy played audiobooks in my ear, I admitted. The Pentagon advised me to sit politely until the jerk with the microphone gets tired of talking.
Ha!
Hans laughed.
That is the essence of diplomacy.
Perhaps you could consider a new career someday.
Thanks, but I would rather cover myself in barbecue sauce and parachute into a Gricka's nest. You are here about your meeting with the Secretary General?
Yeah.
I was about to call you when Skippy informed me you wanted to meet here.
Thanks. Do you know what she wants? He glanced at the ornate old clock on his desk. Hans was wearing a tuxedo, or maybe it was a dinner jacket. I don't know the difference. The few times I wore something like that, I looked like an idiot. He looked like James Bond. His tie was undone, and it was real, not a clip-on. Of course, he knew how to properly tie a bow tie. His nanny or butler had probably taught him that skill before he started kindergarten.
The UNEF Permanent Council wants to know your opinion on a variety of initiatives.
You mean how Skipistan plans to vote?
No,
he snorted, and the corners of his lips turned down. Apparently, he did not approve of Skippy's fake country.
Skipistan is an associate member of UNEF. Your votes are non-binding.
I see that Skippy didn't explain this to you.
No?
He has never asked my opinion about how to vote on anything.
If it's not about voting, then what?
It's about your influence on Skippy. His eyes automatically darted to the ceiling.
UNEF can make any decision they want. They can't do anything without Skippy.
Shifting in my chair, I looked down at the carpet. UNEF thinks I have more influence than I really do. Skippy can be impossibly stubborn if he doesn't want to do something.
Regardless, you have the most influence with him.
He glanced at the clock again, judging how much time he had before he had to fasten his bow tie and leave for dinner.
There are 2 major initiatives being considered. First, a flight to the beta site. The Flying Dutchman would be going, loaded with those multi-mission modules, mostly cargo, supplies for setting up a colony.
Oh, that's great. I breathed a sigh of relief. They agree we need a beta site to make the Elder weapons a credible threat?
Yes. Also,
Humanity needs a safe haven in case the Elder weapons are not a credible threat. It was great to hear that someone was listening to me. The media and most of the world's governments had been assuring the nervous public that our new arsenal of Elder weapons was an invincible umbrella forever protecting Earth from harm. The media only cared about posting clickbait, so viewers would see ads. The governments knew the public was weary of living in fear and just wanted to hear comforting words. Government officials who knew the uncomfortable truth were offering only muted warnings, well aware that the public would tune them out.
You are, not going to Avalon again, are you?
No, thank you. I have had enough of living in a tent, he grimaced. The second initiative is what instructions the UN will give me for negotiating an alliance with the Ruhar.
The hamsters?
I thought, yes, that we need an alliance with the Jarraptha, I agree. UNEF thinks we should start with the Ruhar, partly to settle the issue of humans on Paradise. The Ruhar federal government is concerned that allowing humans to use one of their planets as a staging base for alien legion operations makes Paradise a target. The local officials on Paradise want humans living there. It is good for business. His body language was telling me he was not bubbling over with enthusiasm for an alliance with the Ruhar, and I agreed.
We need to be careful about dealing with the hamsters, I said the most neutral thing I could think of.
Yes, he pointed a finger at me happily. Most of the world now sees the Ruhar as our cute and fuzzy friends, that their raid against us was just a big misunderstanding. People forget, he shook his head. They knocked out more than 3/4 of our electric generating capacity. Some parts of the world have still not fully recovered.
The lizards made it worse, I said, not knowing why I felt a need to defend the Ruhar.
Their raid had been bad strategy and cost lives on both sides without producing any useful result. Actually, the raid was an astronomically expensive failure. The Ruhar gained nothing from it. Because of the raid, humanity was happy to sign up to fight with our Krestang saviors, despite the revulsion we all felt when we saw their ugly faces. Overall, the strategy behind the raid was just plain stupid and led to major changes in Ruhar military leadership. Unfortunately, the hamsters learned the wrong lessons from that action. Since Columbus Day, they had squashed any suggestion of bold action, relying instead on the same stodgy thinking that prevented them from suffering major failures, but which also caused the war to drag on in a stalemate. I tried to remind my colleagues that the Ruhar killed hundreds of humans on Paradise.
Yeah, but again, I was uncomfortable with the direction the conversation was taken.
Fort Arrow was a legitimate military target. Hans paused, his glass halfway to his lips.
Joe, I am surprised to hear you say that. You lost friends there.
I'm a soldier. I have a different perspective. Fort Arrow controlled the cargo launcher complex. We threatened the usefulness of the entire planet's economy. I don't like that the Ruhar hit our people. I just understand their logic, that's all. They must have known the rules of engagement enforced by the Krestang would not allow humans to damage the launcher.
Shit happens, I shrugged.
To the Ruhar back then, we were nothing but primitive aliens brought in as cannon fodder. They couldn't predict what we would do if our backs were against the wall. Hell, I held the launcher hostage until the Krestang came back. He looked over his glass at me.
Would you have blown the reactor?
No, I admitted. Rules of engagement may suck, but they are rules. Besides, all we had to do was hang on and prevent the hamsters from using the launcher. He grunted. My point stands. UNEF believes negotiating an alliance with the Ruhar will be simple. You and I have been out there. He used a thumb to point to the ceiling. We know better. The Ruhar take care of themselves first. I nodded. They have been fighting this war for a long time, Hans. Can we trust them?
As long as we have the same interests, sure.
They are not sticking their necks out for us. You know about their deal with the Torgs. He shook his head, eyebrows raised. That was interesting. I knew something about alien politics that he didn't. Ask Skippy about it. Perkins told me the Torgala tried for a long time to hammer out a mutual defense treaty with the Ruhar. They settled for a series of short-term agreements about specific issues.
The hamsters didn't want to commit to supporting the Torgs if those aliens did something the Ruhar considered stupid. If we do something stupid, I would not count on the hamsters having our backs no matter what agreement they signed. That is true of all treaties. He downed the last of his drink. They are only effective when both parties see value in adhering to the terms. Joe, he stood up. I have to leave soon. The Secretary General will not ambush you tomorrow. She is seeking your support. If she has taken the war seriously, she'll have it. She is very aware that merely having Elder weapons does not assure our safety. I told her what you said about how shocked the Ruhar are by the revelation that we now have Elder weapons, and from learning what the Merry Band of Pirates have been doing. Yeah, Hans, the Ruhar are frightened because we have changed the balance of power in the galaxy. Mostly they fear that a young, impulsive, and reckless species now has the potential to destroy all life in the galaxy. Our species, or you? You have your finger on the trigger of those Elder weapons. I bit my lip. The mission summaries we released to the Ruhar were carefully crafted to leave out any information that might be damaging. Hans cocked his head at me. The Ruhar can read between the lines. They know you sparked a Kristang civil war. They know you framed the Bosphorak for your own actions. The Ruhar public will fear that if it is convenient to us, we will sell them out. Hey, the hamsters have not exactly been the most reliable allies to us in the past. They plan to transfer Paradise back to the lizards and sell out our people. Their commissioner was negotiating to abandon Perkins and the Legion on Fresno, and it was a Ruhar company that screwed the Legion on that rock. I know. He waved his hands to calm me down. The situation is complicated, that's all I'm saying. The Secretary General wants to lead with diplomacy, focus on gaining allies. Oh, hell yes, I agreed. She doesn't have to persuade me that we need allies. Hans, we have one ship to defend our homeworld. One. The Dutchman can't take on a Maxolk's warship and survive. We need allies, and we need to move fast. You've got my support, whatever you need. Thanks. I set my glass on a coaster, unfinished. Hans noted the liquid remaining in the glass. Bourbon is not your favorite? It's great, I assured him. It's just, I'm flying, so... He grinned. Skippy won't let you crash. He won't unless there's a fault with the aircraft. I shouldn't tempt fate, you know. He stared at me. How did you get here so quickly? Panther. Hans, I have to fly around in an invisible dropship or I get mobbed by crowds everywhere I go. Not all of the crowds are friendly. I know, he sighed. The UN assigned a driver and two bodyguards to follow me everywhere. That was odd because I hadn't seen or heard anyone else in the house. Where are in the kitchen? He jerked his head toward the back of the house. Skippy assured me there are no threats within two blocks of this house. It's nice having a fairy godfather. I made a half grin. It was nice having someone looking out for me. It was not nice to need a someone making sure I was safe. Crap. Until recently, I had always assumed I could go back to a normal life sometime after the initial fame wore off. Arriving at Earth with an arsenal of Elder weapons changed all that. Maybe someday, if I could surrender control of the Doomsday weapons to UNEF, the public would eventually forget about me. That assumed there were no future threats to Earth. Yeah, maybe someday pigs would fly.